Welcome back to Who's Next, the Goldberg podcast. And my guest this week is my longtime friend. We just had 40 minutes of politics talk, so this won't happen on the podcast now. Hopefully we got it out of our system. Johnny P, how are you doing?
Good. We're just short of 44 minutes, I see.
Oh, okay. Well, we cut short. Yeah.
44-minute pre-show meeting about American and, well, all world politics. Some Canadian, some American, but world politics.
We didn't touch on basketball yet, so it's not our normal conversation.
Good point.
Me and Johnny talk a lot, so hopefully we'll try. We've been doing these podcasts. They've been about 15, 20 minutes, so
we'll see. Yeah, right. Good luck. You got me on. That was a dumb move.
It was. No, but, you know, we have, we're talking about Goldberg, who is one of my favorite wrestlers to talk about, one of the most fun wrestlers to watch, for a variety of reasons. Johnny, what's your experience with Goldberg? I don't know I don't think I've ever heard you talk about
Goldberg. Yeah, because I'm not big on talking about the mainstream big idea stuff a lot, or big things with particular workers, even though I come from that ilk that you do, where we're supposed to just dissect workers. So my journey with Goldberg is that I literally was watching live that first night in, I think it was September 97, when he beat Hugh Morris, and I believe that as a, obviously by now it's already dropped, so I should break the fourth wall. I remember him doing the backflip thing and then spearing him. And going, what the I shouldn't curse on your podcast, but what the F is this? I was like, well, here's a squash match with a new guy coming in. Cause that show was filled with guys that I didn't know yet, or I had heard of or read about, but never seen in person. So I was like, ah, he must be some guy that I just didn't know yet. And then he did that. And I was like, that's not where I thought this was going at all. And I thought it was so cool. And, it built and built. And I was like behind it, even though it wasn't quite my style, I still appreciated it, you know? I appreciated, building a guy who's limited and doing short bursts and, the art of, teaching him on the fly, so to speak, match to match to match through a bunch of different people and having him extend matches little by little by little, especially in the pay-per-views. And it kind of, lost its way for me, where, I was only vaguely... I wasn't that into it by the end because I wasn't even watching WCW. And then when he came to WWE, I liked it, but it was tough because that was for me, it was a really bad era of WWE. So, but I really loved his stuff with Lesnar at a very advanced age. So, I have, appreciation for Goldberg. He's fun in that meat and potatoes way, and it's fast. And that's really cool.
And a fun fact, so, we all know memories are shit, and they make stuff up, and misremember everything and such. Because I've just watched all this very recently, the spear didn't actually appear for, three or four matches.
That doesn't shock me at all, because, this is why, let's just turn this into, a truth and justice podcast. That's why false confessions happen all the time, and people misreport things in court, and get people thrown in jail for life. So don't do that, folks. You probably don't remember. Tell the truth when you're interrogated about pro wrestling memories and or if you saw that guy wearing the red shirt on your block at exactly 7:03 p.m.
Two of my favorite memory studies. One of them is they got everyone to write this little story about themselves. Just kind of this is where I'm at. This is my thoughts, blah, 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 blah. And then they got the same people to read the same stories 5 years later. And they all, disagreed with it. They're like, that wasn't me. And the other one was they took this one group and they saw an event and then they had to write down what they saw. And then they took a second group. They saw the same event, but then they were allowed to talk and then they wrote down what they saw. Mm-hmm. And the first group had wildly different things about what they saw. And the second group had a very converged idea of what they saw. So, you can change and form your memories to be something that they aren't based on conversation.
Oh, memories are extremely malleable, and the art of suggestion, not even trying to be nefarious at times, sometimes it is, excuse me, also, like, we have this community where, like, it has turnover every 3 to 5 years, and people get older, and their case change, and those are just two of, like, probably 15, 20 easily macro or micro things that factor into, like, us reassessing and going, like, no, this is great. And a lot of times I think, well, it's not that you were lying before. It's that you were younger and you liked something different, and also that person who's a tastemaker was the first to go, let's open the case back up, and, you know, a bunch of things happened, and now, like, the X is now Y, you know.
Very wild to think about.
Right.
We're getting very deep into psychology here, on Who's Next, a podcast where we watch Goldberg matches in order.
Hey, we're still good on the clock. It's like 6.5 minutes, so, you know. We've got, you know, under nine, you know, before we have to beat the clock, so.
Exactly. So, the match we're going to watch on this episode is a match against the Renegade, and it's actually his first rematch that makes air, so that's fun. It's from December 16th. It airs December 27th, the day before Starrcade 97. So, your thoughts on the Renegade?
A fake Ultimate Warrior who has unfortunately passed and had a lot of issues at the end of his life. That's how I, like, remember him. It's, did I say fake Undertaker, by the way, when I met fake Ultimate Warrior? That was a U there. I was just going through my mental Rolodex alphabetically, and I messed up. Yes, not the fake Undertaker. That was Brian Lee. No, this is Joe, is it Joe Gomez, or?
Joe Gomez is a different dude that kind of wrestled.
Resembled. Yeah.
Because they had that great video on, like, the summer of 96 for him. It was Renegade Joe Gomez and two other dudes, like, on the beach in, like, swim trunks being all bulk and stuff.
So it was, like, their version of 3MB, okay.
Yeah, but Joe Gomez and the Renegade were both there. Ricky Williams? Is that right?
Man, see, now I want to look it up. I could have sworn he was a Joe.
Maybe.
I'm looking it up. Hold on. Okay.
I know he did some All Japan at some point.
Like, real quick, and I'll ask you a pointed question, get you back where you were. What did you think his name was?
I said Joe Williams. Or no, Ricky Williams.
You have concocted something reasonable. It is Richard Wilson. So he might have been called Richie Wilson. And Richie, it's definitely not a fun fact, but it's a fact. He was born and also passed away in Marietta, Georgia. Born in 65, passed away in early 1999. So what is his, like, most prominent or weird matchup with All Japan? Who did he have a match with?
I think he just did a tour and just did, like, undercard shit. Probably faced Kamala too or something.
Like, his last night he was in, like, second to last night he would have been in, like, a six-man where Kawada was one of the people on the other side of the ring. That would have made me, that would have popped me.
I bet you if you looked it up. Maybe we'll do that during the break. As a little background here, this is right before Starrcade, where Goldberg is going to face Stevie Regal. A match that's actually been built up over this last little bit. It was kind of Goldberg. And we're actually going to start this promo for Goldberg, which is very weird. So watch this earlier today. Before we get into that, it's WCW Saturday, and I know the WCW B shows are something that people like to talk about. So what are your thoughts on the WCW B shows?
You would think that I was in that set, and I think I kind of always wanted to be. But the truth is, the minute Nitro debuted, I was done with WCW Saturday Night, man. I definitely have seen stuff from it because I was a collector. So I have a bunch of matches from random people but I have never gone on the network and watched a WCW Saturday Night, nor did I ever have, like, complete season sets of, like, 1997 Worldwide or Saturday Night. It exists. It is a thing. If you're going to do studio stuff, I don't like doing, like, cheesy dress up for it, which is kind of like their futuristic robot spaceship entranceway was not my cup of tea.
But it's hilarious.
It is hilarious, yeah, but it wasn't something that I would do outside of, you know, for friendship.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. So let's get to the match here.
But if I saw this guy, this is my, you know, first time seeing him, I'd be like, well, that guy's legit and will grow. I think he'd have a different path, is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Alright. So, this is a rematch from when he squashed Goldberg on Saturday night, like a month ago. Very easily. Last time he ran to the ring and destroyed him.
Oh! It wasn't as harsh as I thought it was going to be, but I still... See, that's the thing, is, like, you don't get anything like this anymore. Like, I'm going to stump for this, even though I'm like, oh, Zack Sabre Jr. kind of guy, or at least I think of myself in these derisive terms. Boom, he already hit it. One, two. Did he even stay down for the three? Like, I think Goldberg did that dummy thing where he can't follow the three taps that he hears. But fair enough. He's not a dumb man. He just might have gotten overexcited. I have only one comment about this match. Oh, he's yelling. Okay. All right. My one thing is it, okay, two, because these traps are ridiculous. So that's the second thing. And here comes Mongo. Okay. Okay. So I'll hold my thought.
Yeah, because you're going to be tomorrow night.
Okay. Yeah, they're not, the Spears aren't, he's being careful because he's actually respectful of, like, his peers within the business and being on the low end of the totem pole. This is a good pull apart, man. They don't do stuff like this anymore because they're afraid of guys getting hurt. And I get that. Like, cause a lot of times security, wrestlers playing security get hurt. But, like, they'll tear something or they'll have an ankle stepped on or something. But, like, I need a big thing with me with wrestling. And I always do it in my reviews and my notes that I don't release to the public. Not that anybody's clamoring for them, but, like, I always tell you, like, oh, yeah, I review that on my Google Doc. And I'm big into urgency. And that had urgency. And the big comment I can take away from it, and I'll use a different match from a different promotion. My friends and I got on a group thing yesterday because we have met for Mania since the late 90s, going back to like 98. So this is the first year that some formation, it's not always, everybody's not always there, but some formation of three people are in a room together on Mania Night. And we couldn't do that, and nobody was deeply interested in this year's Mania, so we watched some matches that were classic within that group. And one of them that the group had always really liked was Shawn Michaels and Kurt Angle from Mania 21. And it was the Los Angeles one. And I have since come down on that a bit, because I've come further down on Michaels than I had been. But I will say that I was pleasantly surprised with that match again. I actually would go back up a little bit on that. Because the one thing that we were like, God, like, these guys execute the moves, the same moves, but they're allowed to do it individualistically. They're allowed to do it as they would do it. They're allowed to do it with some urgency and not like 1, 2, 3, go, or this is how you execute this and this. And I know some of that is for safety, certainly. Miss what I saw in this match, which is what I saw in that match the other night. And it's like, go do your thing. Like, he wasn't trying to hit a spear exactly on a certain part of the shoulder and exactly a certain part of the body part after they both made eye contact and counted 2, 3 or whatever the setup is for such a thing. It didn't look like the planned thing. It's like he went in there. It wasn't perfect. He didn't kill the guy. It could have looked better, sure. But it looked way more naturalistic than modern wrestling does a lot of times. A mainstream modern wrestling, I should say.
Yeah, there's definitely, this is a term I use in describing Bret Hart, and people misunderstand it. But there's a stance of realism, as in, it's true to their character.
Yeah.
Like they're a real person. Not so much that they're Volcom.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, no, I get exactly what you mean. There's levels to, I love, well, I mean, you and I come from the same, like, tree of fans, so to speak. So, like, we're both into that analytical side of things and, like, why these things work and these eras and certain guys and what they did and didn't do. I keep going back to those, like, macro ideas, though, of, like, individualism, urgency, you know, like what you were talking about with realism within the character and how you execute something and it's uniquely to you, even when it's different each time.
Yeah, Goldberg certainly has that here. Of course, you know, we should describe that. Describe it. It's another Goldberg spear jackhammer squash, which he's been on a roll with lately. The last three or four matches we watched were all two moves, which is funny because it's like first four or five matches were have a bunch of stuff, like him selling stuff. So it's kind of it's fun that they like brought him out there and they're like, okay, from here going forward, we're gonna limit you,
right?
And then slowly expand you. You haven't seen Goldberg in a while, especially young Goldberg. So how are you feeling?
It was exciting again. I felt that, like, even Jaded Me felt a little bit of that spark. Where I was like, well, this is some... I remember this. It's that feeling of this is something new. And that, oh, kind of like it reveals itself to you. It wasn't, like, overly hyped weeks in advance, which is its own thing. Like, look, like, I do also applaud... you know, those classic vignettes that we used to watch. Maybe not in the cartoony way, but like a guy's coming in, like pre-promoted in some way. But there's also something amazing to what I described at the beginning of this episode of like, what is this? Like, I just left the TV on and decided not to flip over because like Raw was in commercial, so, you know, September of 97. And then there's this guy and I'm like, well, I guess I'll watch this and see what happens right after. And then there's this explosion and you're like, whoa, this is different. And he maintained that for over a year, I would say, up until like the Nash, Hall, like electrocute Goldberg weird thing that kind of took something away. But,
so also on this, Saturday night, we saw a Goldberg promo and then, his kind of pull apart with Steve McMichael. What did you think of the promo? And, how do you feel about the Starrcade match with Stevie Michael, which we're going to watch on the
I'm really excited and blown. I was going to mention that as a pre-promote, like we were just talking about. I'm really interested, like, this is his first pay-per-view match, correct?
It is, yeah.
Like, they're doing it at their version, like, what was their WrestleMania, so to speak. And in particular, this is, like, for context, the only WCW pay-per-view I ever got. Was
their largest selling one.
Right. The only one I ever got was Starrcade 97, which is the Hogan Sting thing that they had built up for like a year and a half. Also, like Starrcade in general, even though it had lost luster in a lot of ways, Starrcade was their WrestleMania, going back to before WrestleMania, frankly, to 1983? So, yes, it's a big deal. So it's interesting that this is his debut into that pay-per-view longer match world. It's really shocking to me, and I can't wait to see. I can't wait to get to the next episode. Guys, you gotta watch next week or whatever it is. I have the luxury of being able to see this, breaking a fourth wall very soon. But it's just why is that? They go like, hey, we gotta really bring along this guy. He's like been getting some buzz for the last 90 days. Who's sticking him with to like make him look good? Fit? Do we want, you know, Regal? Who do we got back there?
They
like,
put him with Bobby Eaton on house shows.
Right, exactly. Like, who are we putting him with? Well, we'll put him with Steve Michael McMichael. Like, what?
The idea is, if you don't remember, is that
I do not.
Both football players.
Oh, this is very, like, Jim Ross territorial. Like, how much do you think that guy weighs kind of a thing?
Yeah.
How much does he bench? I guess hitting tackle. Two guys hit tackle sledge. Who wins? You know, like, okay.
We didn't see it on the podcast because we didn't watch angles and stuff, but I think there's a point where Goldberg takes Steve McMichael's Super Bowl ring and gives it to Deborah or some bullshit. But,
well, that makes it legal. Okay.
But by the end, by this point, it was just, here's two tough guys who want to fuck and fight.
So, okay.
That's all you need, really.
Yeah. Sure. So, I'm here. We'll watch it.
So tune in on the next episode.
Oh, and I'll just say, like, the promo is jarring because it's, you know, affecting. It's Bill Goldberg doing a mainstream interview. Like, what he would.
We didn't talk about the promo. It's weird. I'll put it in at the end of this podcast because it's so.
Right.
It's so bizarre. It's just like a normal. It's not even a wrestling promo. It's just like a football player promo, maybe.
Well, it's like I said to you when we looked at it, it's like, oh, he's passively doing a scripted promo, which, depending on your mindset, like if you're just seeing, you got to remember, this is a new guy you've never really seen before, who's kind of decent in the ring as far as like for entertainment value. And now he's starting to talk and it's like, oh, well, it seems like he can be trained to talk really, like he might, he could have gone a different way is what I'm saying. I'm glad he didn't. But it seems like it's, you know, if you're looking at it from a polished perspective, and this is Goldberg, this is a legend, then you're going to be like, what the F is that? But it's decent for a dude who's barely been in the business.
But after this, they go to him just saying these things.
Right. Which is, you know, and he did that very well. Very iconic.
So, yeah, tune into that episode coming out probably on Thursday.
Let's hear these comments from Bill Goldberg.
Steve McMichael, let me tell you something. You were terrific in football, all pro, Super Bowl ring. Well, let me tell you something. You left football on your terms. Now this is the WCW. Come Starrcade tomorrow night, you will leave on my terms. I can guarantee you one thing. I will leave under my own power after that match. You, McMichael, will be left unconscious. Another one of my victims.